As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Boom, boom, boom! Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Fantasy Football Week 18. So we're here. If you're here, please, we're live on YouTube, I believe, maybe Twitter, maybe Facebook, don't know. Give us your questions, we'll answer them. For the rest of you listening on the podcast, same show as always, Jake Seeley!
Whoa, holy crap, that was really loud, hey.
I'm sorry, what can I do? Is my microphone too loud? I'm sorry. Brandon Funston!
it's hot. I don't know. I'm just coming in hot.
No, I got my volume's all the way down. I don't know what's going on here.
When you moved all the way to, this is great, this is why it's week 18, you moved all the way to the left, your mic was still catching as much as you were when you were in front of it.
Oh, wait, hold on. For whatever reason, this hadn't gone to the USB audio codec.
All right.
It didn't default. I don't know why. It's weird. It usually does.
It's we're here now. We're better. You haven't been on anything in 3 months.
What do you mean, Joe? I've been doing the show every week with Vaccaro and Brandon, the other Brandon.
Jake, Jake watches every week.
Yeah,
Jake, come on, man. Harsh. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Congratulations to Jake Seeley, number 2 Fantasy Pros Accuracy Ranker.
Woo!
You were number 1 before. I think you were number 3 before. This is your first number 2?
No, this is first number 2 in football. I've been number 1 back-to-back in baseball. Never football.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about football, Jake.
Oh, football was preseason. No, that's why, because I've never been in-season number 1. I've been preseason number 1 for the preseason ranks in football, and then I've been in-season as high as 3-4 twice in a row, and then actually they shot a little dig in there in the recap. They're like, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. Jake's back in his rightful place inside the top 10 after taking a hiatus last year because I finished 32nd last year. I was like, oh, wow, thanks for that little dig there.
That's messed up. All right, well, I don't understand all the distinctions, but congratulations, Jake.
Preseason is draft only.
All right, isn't that where you want to be number 1?
Your draft rankings, that's where I've been. There's a lot of luck in that one.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made there. You want to nail your draft.
In-season is more important, but I'm not saying to throw away draft, but I'm saying in-season is more important because injuries can sabotage your preseason like that.
Okay. And Brandon Funston, by the way, let's not forget he's a Fantasy Hall of Famer, one of the originals.
Yes.
There you go.
One of the firsts.
Let's get to it. This is a ranking show. We waited until Thursday. Originally, it was going to be Monday, but Jakey said, no, let's wait until Thursday when all this, like, who's going to rest, who's going to start, Antonio Brown. Like, let's just wait and see what happens there. Jake was texting me all last night saying, I really believe Antonio Brown, which I thought was interesting.
See, I know that I hate this show.
He wasn't. That's not true. Jake, you wanted me to host.
I know.
Let's get to the fun stuff. On today's show, we're gonna get into who's resting, who the good backups are. I assume most people listening right now, if you're still playing in week 18, Jake's got his rankings out. We actually unlocked them. They're free for anyone to read. So if you're listening to this and you're kind of like, I don't know if I should get an athletic subscription or not. If you didn't, you can still get Jake's week 18 rankings for free. They don't have, like, DFS dollar values attached or anything, straight rankings and some explanations up top. But go for it. Check them out. Maybe you'll fall in love. So I want to get the Bengals backups. That's really, like, the only team I've seen so far that's been, like, very much, like, we're resting our guys. We don't care. I know the speculation on some other places, like Tennessee could have a huge first-half lead and, bench everybody. Jake, correct me if I'm wrong. Fact check me, Jake.
I mean, you could. I was rolling my eyes because we just got a breaking news. Deontay Johnson just got hit with COVID, so that's you had some potential. No, you had some potential DFS talk in there, and I love Deontay Johnson this week. But, yeah, I mean, Tennessee, obviously, yes, could. But Tennessee is also depending on what happens with the Chiefs on Saturday, too. Like, that will affect their desire how much to play. You know, that's going to come into play whether or not they play the entire game, because they could get up to a lead, but you're not going to want to sacrifice the lead if Kansas City won. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know, Brandon. Mike Vrabel seems like the kind of coach who's like, we're playing the whole game. We're hard-nosed.
Right,
football.
But I'm saying if Kansas City lost on Saturday and they're up 40-0 at halftime.
Tennessee's got number one already, yeah.
But did I see a lot of times? Well, go ahead, Funston.
We got to remember, Tennessee did lose to Houston last time, too. And beat the Chargers. And, like, as bad as we want to laugh at them, like, they're capable of, if you don't come in correct, you know, they're capable of knocking you off. So I'm sure that's not lost on the Titans, considering they lost 22-13 not that long ago.
I was going to say, if you're up 30-0, people are always like, well, what if they were up? Well, look at what happened with Dak when he sat for the entire second half. They were up 35-0, but Dak had already gotten his. Like, a lot of times people think about that, like worry about resting for the second half. I think the bigger concern are the ones that potentially rest in the first quarter, only get a drive, and they're done. Like the Bengals.
Well, let's get into it. Yeah, all right, so we got the Bengals. Just a rundown of this rundown. We're going to talk quarterbacks, but very deep quarterbacks, I think, because they have some chances to do some weird stuff. We might build a DFS lineup if we get to it at the end, but Jakey has some ranks that I wanted to get into that I thought were very interesting. One of them, we made the Samaje Perine at 19 versus Chris Evans, but we'll get into that in the Bengals backup section, which we're going to hit up top. Deebo Samuel, the weird rushing week he had against Houston, and some other wide receivers. And that's it. We'll have some fun along the way. We'll answer your questions if you got them. Send them in. Jiggles3 says Jake wants Beller back already. He's right. He's right. This is what happens. I was just hanging out doing real work. All right. Not that this isn't real work. You know what I mean? Like my real job. I consider this fun and work. Bengals backups. Funs, let's start with you. It seems like I assume everyone's going to be sitting, which brings in, like, you know, the running backs, there's a little, obviously quarterback, we know. Running backs, I think a lot of people are going to go to Perine, but Chris Evans, Jeff Haverlack loves Chris Evans. Our Dynasty guy, Jeff Haverlack, loves him. And, I mean, that's in Dynasty context, but he's had some nice runs this year. He had some lofty totals because of some breakaways. Then he gets to wide receivers like Trenton Irwin, Stanley Morgan, Mike Thomas. How are you approaching this? If you're going to put together a DFS lineup, are you going to go after any of these Bengals who, you know, maybe there's going to be some connections here. Maybe, you know, this isn't a very serious game. How are you looking at this?
Yeah, I mean, I think Samaje Perine, you know, it depends. I mean, Chris Evans is very clearly the number three running back. So how deep are they going to dig into their, we're going to rest our guys? Is Samaje Perine so important to them that they feel like they need to give him the same amount of rest they're giving Joe Mixon? And I think at least you're going to get Samaje Perine for a solid two quarters, maybe a sprinkling in the second half, see how the game goes. But he's a good player. He's been playing well. I was actually looking up among running backs with at least 50 carries. There's only three guys that have 4 yards plus yards after contact per attempt. It's Nick Chubb, it's Rashad Penny, and it's Samaje Perine. And he was a week 17 big guy last year as well. He was over 100 yards. So I think he gets a decent amount of run. I do think we'll see Chris Evans probably before, you know, maybe closing things out in this game. But I would bet on Perine too. Would I go 19 on him? It's a crazy week. Maybe it's a little bit high. As far as the receivers, I mean, and Brandon Allen as your backup at quarterback, like, I don't know. That's a complete crapshoot. I guess you're probably leaning on Michael Thomas a little bit more than the others since we haven't seen him.
Mike.
But I wouldn't expect
Michael. Get it right.
Mike.
Right. Mike Thomas. Sorry. Mike Thomas. I'm sure his mom calls him Michael.
When he's in trouble. Michael yeah, Thomas, exactly. Whatever his middle name is. Really what it comes down to, Nanda, is if it was Joe Mixon injury, I think more of Chris Evans. I actually, Funston knows this, I had Chris Evans in the stash for next year, the waiver column for 8 weeks. And everybody's like, why do you keep saying Chris Evans? Joe Mixon got a new contract, blah, blah, blah. It's like, because it's the next man up. And I think that Chris Evans, I agree with Jeff. When I said this coming out of college, the better all-around running back than Samaje Perine, but you can't ignore Perine's talent. But this comes down to next year. And if Joe Mixon gets hurt in week two of the preseason and done for the year, look what you got in Chris Evans. That's why you stash him. So that sidebar is, if Mixon was banged up, I think your point would carry a little bit more, because then it'd be like, let's not risk Perine, who's clearly the number two for this year. and let's get Evans some more run. But because it's COVID and Mixon's being held out, it's not, if P. Ryan gets hurt, I don't think they're that upset to have to turn to Chris Evans, as crazy as that might sound. So that's why I think that you're going to see a good amount of run for P. Ryan. The Cleveland Browns, I'm actually wearing the old RotoWear shirt, which like half these players don't even count for the Browns anymore because Beckham isn't.
Can't really see that. Explain it, Jake. Choose your weapon?
Yeah, woke up and feeling dangerous. Not choose your weapon. It's when you get the sword in Zelda at the beginning.
Well, you're so small on the screen, Jake. I can't really see it.
I know. Well, I'm explaining it. It's supposed to be like the head coach isn't even there anymore. And then there's Baker, who's hurt. And then all their wide receivers, including, remember Callaway? Callaway's not even there anymore. Like, there's so many players that are on this shirt that aren't even. Yeah. Yes, there's so many guys on this shirt that aren't even on the team anymore. This is from old school RotoWear, I guess 3 years ago. Anyway, point being, the Browns have been very forgiving against the run. So that's the other reason that they're at 19. They're actually top five in expected EPA for everybody who wants that stat. But last 6 weeks, they've just been decimated against the run.
Can we shout out RotoWear? I love RotoWear.
I just did like four times.
I'd like to just shout him out a little more. If I had more room in my TJ,
just a little bit more direct shout out.
Yeah, exactly. Also, shout out our sponsor, GetRoman.com. I don't even know if they sponsor us anymore, but that's the only place you can get COVID tests right now.
Oh, wow.
How about that, right?
Yeah.
Funston, have you made a t-shirt quilt? Seems like something you might have.
Oh, I would love to. That's a great idea. No, I have not made a t-shirt quilt. Can you do that? Where do you do that?
There's a company. I forget who. Corey Schwartz from MLB suggested it to me. I forget the name of it. But anyway, if you, it's like one of the top.
Man, when I become 60 years old and all these crossover t-shirts, I have like 50 of them. I'm going to have one of the super-sized blanket that can take up my entire house.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do it now so you can buy more. Like, I had to stop myself from buying more t-shirts. So I feel bad. Like, I haven't been supporting RotoWear like I should be. Because I don't have any room.
I just ordered 16 band kicker t-shirts. So I get on my level.
Yeah, but that's
come
you.
On,
that's
Nando.
Your. If you if you made Nando shirts, then I guess I would buy 16 too.
My wife forces a t-shirt purge for me like twice a year. So this would be a great outlet for me is a t-shirt quilt. Thank you, Nando.
Look it up, man. Yeah. It's a little more expensive than you think it would be, but I think they're always running like 50%. Project Repat. That's the name of it. Project Repat.
That's also what DVR said for baseball cards. Have you done that, Nando? That seems like something you would do, is build your baseball card table with the glass
Jake,
over top of it.
Not everybody's watching this live on video.
I know. That's why I brought it in and said what it was.
Can we turn old baseball cards into coffee tables? I've never done it.
Do you guys remember the old ESPN restaurant in Times Square? I think it was Times Square. Remember how they had all the baseball card mosaic and it made like a Babe Ruth head when you looked at it from afar? That was so awesome. Like they should.
That was awesome.
Yeah, they should let you send a bunch of cards away. And I don't think ESPN even has restaurants anymore.
I don't think anything even took over for it. They had good beer prices, actually. The biggest secret about New York is go to like TGI Fridays, Applebee's,
all
like
the chains.
Their happy hours. Yeah.
The ESPN was one of the first places I ever went with Tout Wars when I got there the day early and Nando was too busy and over in Jersey and I had nothing to do and spend time by myself for 3 hours.
I mean, people love to have 3 hours to spend by themselves in New York. Can we get back to the show, Jake?
Sure. Sorry to derail this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Cam Akers, a little buzz about him. I mean, I can't see him getting more than like 7 touches, but Sean McVay lies about things. Except he really didn't lie about Sony Michel, that part where he said we wanted a pounder. I remember seeing him against us in the Super Bowl. Remember his quote a couple weeks ago where he's like, we have that guy, like that strong guy who can just beat us, and he beat us in the Super Bowl, and I remember that. We need more of that. And then they rode Sony Michel. We all rode Sony Michel to fantasy titles, basically.
Right.
And now he's saying, like, hey, Cam Akers looks great. He can handle a bunch of carries. Is there a difference between can he and will he, Jake? Like, what are you projecting Cam Akers for in terms of carries? And Sony Michel.
Six, seven touches at most. Obviously, you know, this could be a situation where he looks great and he gets maybe double digits, but also first game back. And it has nothing to do with Sean McVay, honestly. It has to do with inside injuries and every doctor out there who comes down and say, this is returning from Achilles. And yes, we are in a new world where players come back and actually look good. The Marlon Mack, you know, granted, but the problem is people overrated what Marlon Mack was. So when people see him disappointing this year, it's like, oh, he's just not good anymore. No, Marlon Mack was never that good, but he came back. He was an effective running back for a brief time coming back from this, and it's more for the fact that his talent in front of him. So I do think that Cam Akers can come back. I wouldn't expect 100% till next year because I believe inside injuries in all these reports, similar to Saquon Barkley. They weren't expecting him to be Saquon Barkley till 2022. So I believe the doctors, and I believe that for, like, even if Cam Akers somehow got half the work, it still wouldn't be the Cam Akers we know. And I don't think they're going to risk that.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it's zero. I actually think there's still a good chance it's zero because, you know, and talk about inside injuries in Virginia. Zakis, who does our inside injuries column on The Athletic, and she's like, this is 9 months is typically like the earliest, and that's like in a stars-aligned dream world, and this is, what are we at, 5.5, 6? Like, it almost seems like malpractice to even
like
let him
walking
on the field.
Again. Yeah.
It's like, be happy that he's there in practice running around and kind of use that to kind of get him set for next year. But until Deonta Foreman, you know, in this last month, emerged, like, there hasn't been a success story of a running back coming back from an Achilles injury. So this is all brand new stuff, and I would doesn't make any sense for the Rams to push this envelope in my mind.
Well, listen, you brought up Dante Foreman. I didn't want to. first of all, this Cam Akers thing, see, like, I actually believe the theory that people were saying, like, they brought him back just so he could get the pension, you know, get that extra year of credit as a player by playing these three, being active for these three games. Maybe he'll have like a small complication tomorrow that will not allow him to play, kind of thing. Otherwise, I mean, when we talk about our playoff fantasy games, maybe Cam Akers goes from 7 to 10 to 14. You know what I mean, Jake? Like by the second round of the playoffs or whenever, you know, I don't know where they are in the bye scenarios. I haven't really paid much attention to that. But wherever they are in the playoffs, right? Like he might be a factor. We might have to start talking about him next week in the playoff
show. The bye has already been locked up with the Packers, so that's why the Packers are probably, and it wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones all play like a series and they're just done. So that being said, the Rams can still get a home game, but they will be playing next week either way, whether they're the wild card or a home team. So I don't think that I'm kind of with Funst on this again. Like, and you brought up that kind of, I don't want to call it like conspiracy theory, but it makes sense of like that extra year kind of situation.
Well, it sucks because Mekhi Sargent lost his job because of that.
Yeah, but
I mean,
well,
there's the downside.
He lost his job on the Rams. He lost his job in the Rams, but he got picked up now because.
And there's no guarantee he's getting picked up. But I mean,
no, he already was. He was picked up.
I know
up
he did,
week.
But I'm saying there was no guarantee when they let him go.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
For this feel good story.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, so point being is they still have what, Buddy Howell, and they have other options. So again, this is really what I think it is. Break glass in case of an emergency. Like, if Sony Michel goes down this week or next, and then I think it's like, all right, let's see if Cam Akers can even handle 12 touches. And I think
let
that's
me ask a stupid question.
Here.
Is Henderson out for the playoffs too because he ended the season on IR, or how does it work?
He's out. He's definitively on IR. He's still not a guarantee to come back. Yeah. He could. They already speculated that he could be a playoff return, though, but they're. The sound of it initially almost sounded like the second week of the playoffs. I could be wrong, and he could come back quicker, too. I mean, since technology has everybody coming back, like Cam Akers. Right. I mean, Cam Akers is destroying anything we thought about injuries in the past anyway.
Right.
Fun, so let me ask you, since you brought him up, Dante Foreman, what's his future look like? I mean, like, obviously he's not signed long to sign off the practice squad. You know, had played for a few teams this year. What do you think? Like, I guess frame it in terms of dynasty. He's still young. Everyone loved him like 3 years ago before the Achilles surgery. And now he's kind of like the shining example of how you can come back from it and be very good. I mean, he's had 300-yard games.
Yeah.
Next year, is he like on a, I don't know, Dolphins? And you're like, well, Dante Foreman's going to be the starting running back for the Dolphins.
Yeah, what's his age now, though? Example, I think he's at least, what, 26, 27? He's, you know, that the Achilles injury took some years out of him. I don't think he can sign a big deal. Honestly, I think, and he looks good. I got to give him credit. I didn't think he had what he had in him, but watching him this last month and even this last game, it's like, wow, he even seems.
He'll be 26 in April.
He's slimmer, spryer than he was. When he came out, he was kind of like a Derrick Henry coming out of Texas. I think his best spot would be the slam dunk replacement for Derrick Henry. Sign a nice backup deal there. Stay in Tennessee. It's a good running environment. You know the system. You're kind of like Derrick Henry light in a way, and I think that would be the best. But he's going to be out there with the Rashad Pennies of the world. And then, you know, even though the NFL needed a lot of running backs this year and they're looking for a lot of them, I don't think they're still going to pay a whole lot for these kind of like career journeyman types. So that's my answer.
Again, yeah, 26 in April. I think you're looking at Devontae Booker of last year. He's gonna find a place to be the backup, and he's gonna find a place where if the lead option goes down, he gets his opportunity again. Because it's not an enormously deep running back draft class, but it's solid enough that you're gonna have 3, 4, 5 options go on day two. And you know what I mean? There could be more than that. I mean, 3, 4, 5 options that could be potentially come in as lead / running backs of a split like a Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. So it's just going to be tough for him to find a job where anybody's going to give him the lead option. I think the Dolphins made sense for what you said. If like the Dolphins just go into this draft and like, we're going to keep kicking this tire down the road at the running back situation. Maybe they draft somebody, sign Foreman, and he comes in as a split. So I think that's what you're looking at. I think you're looking at best case scenario. He's behind somebody who could potentially fall into the situation he did this year, or what Brandon said. I mean, if you're the Titans, you just got it. You just saw him and you have Derrick Henry. Why not just bring Foreman back? You have your answer if Henry goes down again.
Yeah, but does Foreman want to do that?
Well, I'm saying his might not be.
I was just quickly
options.
Jotting right. down the teams. Miami, Atlanta, Tampa Bay is going to lose their entire backfield. Houston, I mean, where he once was, or back to Tennessee.
If he goes to Tampa Bay, he's going to end up being a second-round draft pick next year.
Right?
Hey, people are going to lose their damn mind on him if he goes to Tampa Bay and they don't bring in anybody else. If it's just him and Keyshawn Vaughn next year, forget about it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the question. Like, did he – those 100-yard games, is that Dante Foreman – like, it sucks that he had to be on the Titans and be almost like a facsimile of Derrick Henry. And because you can make the argument, like, that offense, that line, like, that's made for a big bruising rusher like him. It's not really like if he went somewhere else. Like, he didn't do a Damian Williams and ran for, you know, 400 yards and a bunch of touchdowns at the end of the season. Everyone's like, oh, he's a starter next year, you know, from 3 years ago, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, let's, we got some questions. Aside from don't do championships in Week 18, is there anything we should be watching this week that could inform us for fantasy strategy next season? That's from Jiggles3, Funston.
Oh, I was hoping you're going to go to Jake. I don't know if I have a good answer for this.
Jake!
So, it depends on what you're classifying as strategy. I say if you're looking at these situations like Deonta Foreman, then yeah, I mean, you could see potential pin them away in the back of your mind type of scenarios. You know, you do sometimes see week 18 is when others get opportunity. We just talked about the Bengals. And I'm not saying we're super excited for anybody outside the big three on that team because they're set, but the Bengals aren't the only ones. You know, the Packers could be evaluating, and, you know, what if Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are gone, and maybe they think that Alan Lazard is a clear number two next year, and I'm not saying I believe that myself. I'm just saying these are the kind of things you kind of look at. You're going to see teams, I mean, you're talking about teams that are completely out of the race, like Washington and the Giants play each other. We might get a real telling point on what they think of, like, let's see if Kadarius Toney gets a lot of run. Is he the new Sterling Shepard next year? Like, those are the things you want to look for. You want to look for, like, the teams that are out or clinched in the playoff spot are not the only ones that are going to be evaluating their own talent for next year. And you could even find some potential backups. Like, watch the Bears. What if they say, screw it, David Montgomery's benched in the first quarter. Let's find out if it's Damian Williams or Khalil Herbert next year as the backup. So, like, those are the things you want to watch.
Always
follow what the teams tell you. Like, I talked about, Jeff and I talked about this on the show. I said, like, a couple weeks ago when
Jeff Manns?
No, Jeff Ratcliffe. When we were talking about, and the fact that Lamar
Jackson. Like everybody knows, though, you know?
And they picked up Josh Johnson even before Huntley got hurt. That was before Huntley. When Huntley was starting and they picked up Josh Johnson, it was like, this is clear. They are telling us Lamar Jackson's not playing this week. So that's what I'm saying. Watch, these teams are going to tell us some of what they're thinking this week.
Yeah. All right, let's see what happens. Although your Giants argument, and I want to talk Giants here. Like, I don't know how Joe Judge comes back, but I guess if he uses Kadarius Toney a lot, there's your answer. If he doesn't, then I mean, they're going to wipe out the GM and the coach. Which, as a Giants fan, you never like to see anyone lose their job, but it doesn't feel right. Brandon, Jake has Saquon Barkley. I know this, I have this like a little bit lower, but Jake has Saquon Barkley at 15. And I mean, it's not even that he's been bad. Like, he's had bad numbers. And I guess he looks a little bit sluggish, but what?
He had 100 yards last week, and nobody noticed.
Yeah.
No,
Jake,
that's
I'm
where
sorry,
we're
I'm
at.
Talking about the. All
no,
right,
no.
All right, then we'll just go
no,
off
it
just
took
last
me till
week,
Tuesday to realize, Jake. I'm with you.
Like, no, that's what I'm, that's my point. No, I'm echoing what you're saying, is it's been so bad that people didn't even realize he got 100 yards last week.
I did.
Go back to Funston with your question.
All right, but the question is, 15 implies that Jake thinks he's got the momentum and they fix whatever, you know, has been broken. But I mean, like, I watched that game and it was just, they couldn't pass and no one was catching. And we're 2 weeks removed. We're 1 week removed from, I think, Kenny Golladay having 8 targets and no yards. So basically, I want to ask you, for week 18, is Saquon Barkley 15? Is that crazy?
Well, I mean, I think you're at the point now the Giants haven't been playing with anything for anything for a while. The fact that, you know, Saquon was a 100-yard rusher last week. If it was me, I, you know, once – and Daniel Jones isn't the answer for this team, and they're going to have to hit the reset button again, and they're going to have to try to figure out how to find a quarterback.
Except
but,
they're not.
Like, but Saquon –
Tyler Huntley would be awesome.
Saquon's still part of the future. Like, I think a few weeks ago I would have just put him in glass and said, you know what, we're just preserving you. We got you some run this year, but let's keep the tires, the tread on the tires as much as possible. Get you 100% for next year. We'll try to improve this environment around you in the meantime. But they ran him in, you know, what was it, 20 carries, 100 yards, something like that? Like, if they're going to do that in week 17.
It felt like it was 40.
Yeah.
It felt like it was 40 carries watching that game.
No. Here's why. He got 100 yards on 20 carries when their net – passing offense was negative 10. The Bears played an NFL game and saw their passing yards allowed go down from playing a football game because Mike Glennon threw for 24 yards, 2 completions, 12 yards each, 2 completions to Devontae Booker for 0 yards. So just to give you an idea, and that's my point, is like, you're not wrong, Nando, but it's the names behind him. Damien Harris, right behind him. We've already, first guy behind him is a split backfield. Chase Edmonds, split backfield. Ezekiel Elliott, split. Did Dallas pull their starters in the second half because their only situation is the number 2 or 3 seed? Samaje Perine, you already crapped on. And then you have.
I didn't crap on him.
Javonte Williams, Keyshawn Vaughn, DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, who might not even play more than a quarter. Like, that's all it is. It's your answer to 15 is it's week 18. That's the answer.
Is the answer more like 15 is the basement, basically, of single guy backfields?
Single guy backfields in week 18, yes. That's your answer. Right. I have Deonta Foreman in front of him.
Yeah, Jakey.
I have Darrell Williams, Sony Michel, Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is an RB1, although he's been an RB1 the past 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's not really a hot take.
No, but I'm saying that's where our trust level is. Rashad Penny's inside the top 10, as he should be. He's number one in our hearts and number one overall in the past 4 games.
Past 5 weeks, past five weeks, Amon Ross, St. Brown, wide receiver 2, Rashad Penny, RB1. Crazy.
There you go.
And Sony Michel, what? Hot take Jake. Yeah, there you go. Have you ever tried that?
Hot take what? Tried what?
Hot take Jake. No, you like hashtagging that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, say something, say something bold and outlandish.
I thought it was a restaurant.
Hashtag hot take Jake. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
like,
have you tried to brand that yourself?
You know, the shirts that are like this and this and this and this and this, like that list shirts that everybody makes?
Yeah.
I think we might need one at this point with like my hashtags. Like hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. I have like 17 hashtags now.
I only know one of them.
Band kickers.
Speaking of Amon Ross St. Brown.
Oh, check the link. Amon Ross St. Brown. Unluck Tales. Woohoo. Hot take Jake.
Mutombo.
Mutombo. Everybody's like, that's not how you spell it. That's the point. It's a play on his name, idiots.
Yeah. If it confuses people, maybe you shouldn't use it anymore.
No, that's the people who deserve to be Mutumboed instead of Mutumboed.
I want to talk Jared Goff, please, okay. Jake.
By the way, there's no shortage of hot take Jakes on Twitter. I just did a quick look, so there you go.
Oh, Jake, you can own that.
I thought he was about to say it got dangerous actually Google searching. You might be careful.
HotTakeJake.com.
I was going to say, you might be careful. That's like Stepmom Lauren. She says, always go directly to the website. Do not Google search Stepmom Lauren.
Jake, of course, referring to his other video shows that he does. Not the athletic ones.
Other friends. I never even said, see? Look at Nando stirring the pot.
Jared Goff. Look, I know, like, he's not the greatest, but he's got a wide receiver who's basically catching everything. I don't know what the COVID statuses are of, like, you know, Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds. But, I mean, they started, they've had their own big weeks separately. This team could come together in Week 18, really, against the Packers defense. If they're really going to be resting people, we got to look at the defensive side of the ball, too. Funston, is Jared Goff maybe like a 300-yard passer this week?
And look, at we've liked Jared Goff for what he does for, like, DeAndre Swift, and we thought Amon Ross St. Brown, but we found out he was kind of backup quarterback-proof. So, he's not the worst play this week. I just have a hard time figuring out who's in Week 18 suddenly has to turn to Jared Goff, and I'm like, who is it? Like,
right.
Who is it, Jake? Because I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, I guess if you're DFSing, if you're doing DFS, you know, you want to save some money.
I mean, I guess it's Week 18, and you're looking at, like,
I have Jared Goff inside the top 20 because it's Week 18. And also, there's matchups. I mean, because look at behind him. So, Mac Jones, who I've actually had inside my top 20, that's actually what helped me propel, part of the reason propel got back up into the worthiness of quarterback rankings and the accuracy. I made it to the top 25. I was like 98th in the third week of the season. But it was because
Jake, did you see what Razzball put out today?
No. So, we can get to that in a second. But Mac Jones has been playing really well, but he's got at Miami. So, you know, he's a conservative one. But Davis Mills is at 21, who I keep saying Davis Mills needs some respect. But then it's Heineke, Roethlisberger, Tua, Case Keenum is now playing. And then Matt Ryan's got New Orleans. Brandon Allen is going to be playing. And he's got Cleveland, Trevor Lawrence. Like, so it's just the fact that you're playing Jared Goff over those guys. That's the thing is it's not even so much. It's kind of the Barkley argument at quarterback.
I know, but who are the quarterbacks that are likely to sit for at least a half?
Aaron Rodgers.
But you're saying you're taking a half. I'm looking at your rankings. You're going to take a half of Aaron Rodgers over Jared Goff.
But he's the only one.
Okay, I'm just trying to who's in Week 18 and made their championship riding one of these quarterbacks that might be sitting this week where you would pivot to Jared Goff.
Tua owners. At this point, are probably
their battleship was sunk unless they had Jamar Chase, but their battleship was last week.
Again, not everybody's got a billion quarterback options on waivers. Most, you know this, Brandon. Most common leagues, people sit on two quarterbacks.
I think we're just talking to about eight people right now that are considering.
Well,
Jared
I mean
Goff.
That's Week 18 anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Goff is 5,400 on DraftKings, the same price as Heineke, Fields, Mac Jones, Ben Roethlisberger.
I think that's more your more interesting play there is the fact that you Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown your way into some money.
Yeah,
stack them.
Well, yeah. If you're playing Goff, you're not playing naked Goff.
There's another
let's
hashtag
move on
for
before
you,
I start kind of thinking too
that's
much about
common. Right, okay, next. That's common in David. Naked means you play the quarterback with nobody else.
I understand.
Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley, you can play those. It's a naked quarterback.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right. Well, I got Taylor Heineke and Jalen Hurts I want to talk about in the same kind of breath. Heineke against a Giants team that's lackluster, has no energy. No?
No, no.
Jakey Nolecki.
No. I love Heineke because he's from ODU and he's local. And I had a Heineke jersey up there for most of the year. But the problem is Giants secondary is actually really good for what people expect. They're not top five, but for what people expect because 90% of the time, they keep everything in front of them. And Heineke just doesn't have the weapons. And the biggest thing is, we talk about Terry McLaurin's been a roller coaster this year, which a lot more downs than ups, is because he's getting the Hockenson treatment before he got hurt. He's getting wiped away. If you're going to try and stop this team, who are you going to stop? Terry McLaurin, the end. You're not worried about Cam Sims. You're not worried about DeAndre Carter. Curtis Samuel hasn't been able to get on the field. Their tight ends can't stay healthy. So it's just take away Terry McLaurin. And the Giants have the options to do it. The Giants have done it before. So it's not – I don't dislike Heineke. I actually like him for fantasy, but not this week, especially for the fact that he's very aggressive and he doesn't let that go either. He tries to make
too many
plays.
Poor Curtis Samuel, man.
Yeah.
Man, that was
failure to launch 2021. Yeah. Curtis Samuel, for sure.
Maybe he'll be better next year. Healthy Curtis Samuel.
Hopefully. You brought up Jalen Hurts. I mean, ask Funston about that. Like, I have him inside the top 10. No. Because I just went on about Heineke. That's what I was saying. I'm just helping you pivot over there.
I can't not ask him about it. So,
well, no, it's this. I'm legitimately concerned that the Eagles rest everybody. They're locked into the wild card. They're having a COVID outbreak. Hurts has had injury issues. I'd be scared if I was a Hurts manager, honestly.
Especially you got Gardner Minshew, who came in and looked great in the one spot where they brought him in. You know, so. I'm with you. I think he's somebody that you sort of have to rank in the top 10 because if he plays.
No, I'm doing it right now, live in the show. I'm dropping him down the ranks.
All right.
Live dropping the live ranks, drop. Jake.
I'm like, going to 15. I'm thinking about it and doing it. Yeah, right now. I'm dropping him down, putting Minshew in there. I'm putting Beowulf in the ranks.
The move is to put him at 13 because then you can say he was a QB2 in your rankings, you know.
No,
Jake, you want to hear hot take, Jake?
Honestly, I have Taysom Hill at 12. Taysom Hill's better bet for the entire game. Tannehill against Houston. Kirk Cousins against Chicago. I think 13 is where you stop. Good call, Funks.
Let me tell you where my
borderline
my brain
QB1
is
if you
Hurts.
Want to spin it as a positive, QB2 if you want to spin it as a negative.
I want to hear what Nando's brain is thinking.
So when the railing collapsed and all those guys jumped around Jalen Hurts and started taking pictures and touching him, I'm like, dude, he's just got COVID. That's it. Give it a few days. He's out.
That's where the COVID outbreak started.
That's where it came from.
He got PTSD. Yeah, I think that's what he's dealing with more than COVID.
That's crazy.
How much of a dumpster is that stadium? And it's not that old of a stadium.
That's not a hot take.
Admiral. No,
let's talk running backs. You know, we kind of already hit the running backs. Although, Jake, I did like how you had Patrick Taylor Jr. as a sleeper. When I edited your rankings column, you mentioned him.
Yes.
Because Green Bay will probably rest their top two, right?
Yes. 100%. If you're going to rest Aaron Jones, you're not going to risk A.J. Dillon. That's also, you think about it, if the Broncos were in the playoffs, you wouldn't risk Williams and Melvin Gordon when you have this kind of split backfield and this kind of consistency and this kind of just we go out there every single week and it works for us every single week. And we have one of the best duos that see work every single week. So Patrick Taylor is clearly the third. He's clearly been the third. He got run last week in the blowout. I wouldn't be surprised if, similar to Samaje Perine, you see Patrick Taylor out there with 15. Now, of course, Patrick Taylor could get exposed in the fact that that's why he's third, and at 15 carries only turns into 45 yards, and maybe it's a Rex Burkhead day. But that's why he's, to be clear on the sleeper, he was a Hail Mary sleeper, as in, go for it, but expect bad things to potentially happen as well.
All right, fair. Sorry I took those words out of your mouth. Let's move to wide receivers. Brandon, where are you on Deebo Samuel right now? Just overall, he had not a great rushing week last week. The experiment's starting to fail.
Well,
or no,
I don't Mitchell know about that. I mean, he's had some. He had like a 6-for-29 game. I think he was, it was his worst game. But they're still giving him, they're still giving him touches there. He had three catches for 16 yards with Trey Lance. I mean, they're going to play the entire game. This is a game that the Rams and the 49ers will compete for here. So, you feel good about the playing time for the most part. Figures out a way. I mean, last week when the rushing numbers weren't there, he figured out a way, to get it done in the passing game. He's had plenty of games like that where one way or another he finds the end zone or finds a way to help. It's wide receiver three. I don't know in a game where they're going to be competitive, for the most part, how you think about sitting him.
No, and I said Elijah Mitchell came back. That's why. Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, but he still had 7 carries. I mean, he didn't get a lot of yards out of those 7 carries, is what I
because he's
more
also,
concerned
with. Yeah, the carries were a little bit different than what he's seen, too, from the different mix up that you had seen. Because the thing is you got the situation with Elijah Mitchell is he's a little bit more, he definitely is. He's more all around. Like, Deebo's kind of like your more speed get into space, with Jeff Wilson is just kind of keep it like a Tevin Coleman, keep it mostly up the middle. So it's also usage too. You kind of like what it's the situation that Cordell Patterson started running into is that when you only get a limited amount of touches, but you keep using them in one specific way, it becomes obvious for defenses. Like they kept stretching, they kept running Cordell Patterson on sweeps, and it's like all of a sudden, why the hell is he not working? Well, because you're only giving them 8 carries and they're all sweeps.
Jake, do you feel like, and this is editorial question here, do you feel like Cordell Patterson is getting ripped and Arthur Smith getting ripped off left and right by Deebo Samuel someone else had some wide receiver had 3 carries last week against
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, was that it? Yeah, yeah. I feel like maybe there's someone else.
Yep. He ran for one.
But yeah, Seahawks. It's like everyone's just ripping off this Cordell Patterson thing, and no one's actually being like, hey, you know, maybe Shanahan's not this genius. He's basically ripping off Arthur Smith.
No, Shanahan is a genius. I will say, I will give the fact that, like, you know, yes, there is potentially, like, other teams. This is a copycat league. You're like, look at, Wildcat was a thing only because it was a copycat league with the freaking Wildcat.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't,
it doesn't
Wildcat
work.
Wildcat didn't work.
No, but this works when you have dynamic wide receivers. And he's not the first. Robert Woods technically is the first. Like, well, first
Patterson,
of recent years.
Patterson, I think, years. Did it best.
So, well, yeah, of course he's doing it best, but I don't think, no, Shanahan's just simply a whole other story. Shanahan's just the genius of running backs who turns every running back into gold. I wouldn't say he's copying, but maybe other teams like the Lions, sure. Okay, there you have a point.
Plus, plus explain to me why they took the brakes off or pumped the brakes on Cordell Patterson. Like, the very clear best thing in that offense, and it's not that they, you know, and you've talked about they're only giving him one, you know, one kind of carry, Jake, or one way of usage, but they've also just like completely cut his usage down, you know, and he was like week in and week out the only guy that was doing anything. And then all of a sudden, like, the touches are dwindling, you know, and it doesn't make any sense at all.
And Mike Davis's are going up.
I know. How does that make any sense? It's so crazy.
Nando got in their head. Nando wanted Mike Davis to happen.
I read the tea leaves. Mike Davis is a good player who's in the right spot at the right time.
Good. Good is, like, I guess, like, good is the best you could say.
That was
you loved him last year, Jake.
That was our August narrative that didn't pan out. Nando.
It wasn't. Yo, so that's what it was. No, not even last year, Nando. It was August. I was saying fifth, sixth round, because if you're going to get 250 touches, I'll take any running back if you're just good getting 250, 60. So where did Mike Davis finish? Did he even get to 200 this year? I don't think he did.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I think there was a lull in the middle.
Oh, wow. He's at 173.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even guess that high. But still, that's way short of 250, which was the goal, which Cordell Patterson, how many did he take away from him? Like 170, Cordell Patterson has 149 rushing attempts right there. You even give half of those to Mike Davis, and boom, you got your 250. That was the point.
Sorry, the garage door is going down. I didn't want to treat everyone to that. But hey, why not?
This is real life.
This is what it is. Okay, we're back.
Speaking of running backs, James Conner limited, but Chase Edmonds is out of practice again today, just as a heads up.
Jake, I was actually going to ask, so Mike Davis is 27 touches away. Do you think there's like a 200-touch bonus in his?
No.
We get to 200 touches, get $333,000?
No, I don't think there's usually touches anyway.
Yeah, it's usually carries, right? It's just carries typically.
Yeah.
All right.
And usually like a yards.
Brandon, DK Metcalf, I mean, are we up, down? What's the feel out there?
I mean, he just came off a touchdown hat trick. So I think the feel is Tyler Lockett, because it's Arizona, because he has a little bit of a history. Look, I would play both.
No, go ahead.
I would play both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. At that point, what's the deal with Arizona? Because it's late in the day. Are they going to have their spot solidified by then, or is it still? I mean, I guess Tampa and some of the other teams are still playing. San Francisco and LA are playing at the same time as well. So things are probably still in flux. You're probably going to get a full Arizona game, right?
Oh, yeah. Arizona's still there. Yeah, they're going to go down to the wire with the Rams at the same time at 4 o'clock. No, the reason Tyler Lockett, too, is because Arizona's defense over the last 6 weeks has been one of the top five and most forgiving against the pass. But the interesting thing is they're also still really low in yards per attempt because, like, the Giants, they keep everything in front of them. So who does that profile for? Tyler Lockett, who can do a bunch after the catch. I'm not sitting DK Metcalf, but I don't think we're going to have time, but if we were going to get to DFS, by the way, I am going to have some Tyler Lockett this week. I can tell you that much.
Go ahead. Do you start? Is he, like, when you have a feeling about Tyler Lockett, very passionate, hashtag passionate Jake.
When I do the Holka show today, I do locks with him. Tyler Lockett is one of my locks.
Although I would say Tyler Lockett is not Amon Ross St. Brown. He is, you know, he will run the slot, but a lot of his stuff actually ends up being big plays, you know, and it's a lot of times where Russell.
Yeah, but he gets away from the people from the slot. That's what.
But do you start with Lockett? Like, do you go to the DraftKings, you're like, okay, Lockett's in. And, like, you know, whoever else I feel strong about is in. And now let me build
in
the
DFS,
rest of
what is the price of DK and Tyler? I would take Lockett, and most especially if Lockett's cheaper.
Lockett's cheaper, but on FanDuel, he's cheaper by 300. I don't know what he is on DraftKings. But
we're DraftKings family here, Jake. 6,400 on DraftKings for Lockett.
I would guess DK is 68.
Metcalf is 69.
Yeah, see.
Play them both.
No, of course. Russell Wilson makes for a sneaky play, too, in the way he's been playing lately, because not all people still don't want to use Russ in DraftKings or basically DFS in general. To answer your question, is I usually start with two or three of my, these are 100%. Like, I don't ever have 100% all across all of my teams, but I do have, like, three or four guys, and I'll start with some mix of those and then work my way through the other options that I really like.
All right. So just like a normal person.
Yeah, I would assume.
I don't know. Do you build several? I honestly haven't played DFS since week 18 last year. And then before that, it was Thanksgiving. And then before that, it was week 18 the previous. I'm so off DFS.
No, I'm usually I'd say between, depending on what the week is, between like 7 and 12 lineups. I don't play a ton because I don't have that much time with everything that's going on. But so across those, let's say 12 at most, I probably have about 5 different lineups. I don't go crazy and like I would never have 12 different lineups.
Gotcha. All right, Brandon, you do that? You're not DFS.
No, I'm
not
Washington.
Either?
They can't even do DFS really. I mean, I could.
All right, I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways, you know. And
how is that still a law?
I know, right? we are archaic in some things, and progressive in some things, but gambling archaic.
Like, a third of the nation is already like, yeah, we're in Betty, and Washington's still over here like, oh, what's doing? We're not doing DFS.
No. Yeah, can't do it. Oh, I'm doing an FBC right now, by the way. I don't know if anybody cares because it's baseball, but man, it feels good to be back, like drafting.
For that.
I don't even,
anyway.
For that team to
even,
kick
no,
things
my
off
brand's
in May.
Not there yet, doesn't even want to be there.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, I was decided between Gavin Lux and Austin Riley.
Stop.
I'm like, oh, what do I do?
Stop.
I love
it. At least I know those names.
All right.
That's encouraging.
Well, it's only round 11. There's some time.
Stop.
Jiggy. What's the deal with Michael Pittman?
What about him?
I mean, like, when you're going to look at him next year, are you like, well, through 8 weeks, he was like Terrell Owens, basically, and then he just disappeared? How are you going to approach Michael Pittman when you talk about him next year?
I'm going to approach him the same way I approached DK Metcalf. That's what happened. He got DK'd. The NFL is smart. And copycat, but they're also copycat in the fact that sometimes they figure things out and the entire league starts to figure it out. Justin Herbert, late last year, 4 out of his 6 games were kind of mediocre because the NFL started figuring out Justin Herbert. DK Metcalf's second half of his season, we talked about it, was half productive as it was for the first half of the season. These things happen. Pittman's still a young player. He's still very talented. Who else is on this team? T.Y. Hilton got a fluke touchdown catch bounced off the defender. It was like, but outside of that, like T.Y. Hilton's been erased from relevancy, and they've been trying to do like the tight end situation. 1 week is okay, Allie Cox, cool. It's just there's not really much there outside of Jonathan Taylor. So they bring in somebody else, maybe even Carson Wentz. I don't even know if he's definitely their answer next year at quarterback. But it's the DK thing. Is you're going to get the NFL teams. Ja'Marr Chase did it in this season. And unlike DK, he actually bounced back at the end of the year, but you saw the NFL adjust to Ja'Marr Chase. That's all that's happening. You have the NFL adjusting to Michael Pittman. They know how to stop him now or limit him, and there's just nobody else to throw to.
I feel like this week isn't as weird as the other. Oh, sorry, Brandon. You're going
to
say
something. Well, I was just saying, like, don't they feel like a team that's going to go out and invest in a first or second round wide receiver that they can hope can come
or
in?
Or bring in, like, a Mike Williams?
Yeah, or bring in a Mike Williams.
Or Allen Robinson?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Is Allen Robinson, is the Bears? Is that the problem?
Oh, 100%. And health.
He admitted when he got COVID, he
dropped 10 pounds.
I saw that. He was very bad before COVID.
It's the first season of his career that he's not been quarterback proof, though, which is weird. He's had a laundry list of horrible
COVID,
quarterbacks.
We changed it, Brandon. Remember? It's quarterback immune now. Because like COVID, that's quarterback immune.
Jake. Hashtag. See if Roto-World will make a shirt that says that.
Yeah, because he's got nothing else to do besides make my t-shirts.
I don't know. You could popularize it through your Twitter following and your 17 shows.
He's got like shirts in the hopper that he's even got planned in his head that he's trying to do. We only have a few more minutes. Get that. Nobody cares about this.
How long do we go? 50?
50-ish.
DVR, communicate it to us on the screen.
You can go.
We're in the 10-minute zone. You can cut us off any time in the next 10 minutes. It's dealer's choice.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. See you later. Enjoy your lunches. Well, I mean, we hit on the Giants. Tony and Galladay. Jake, who do you want to see coach the Giants next year?
Just anybody not named Judge.
All right, fair. Fair enough.
Harbaugh wants to come back to the NFL.
What about Freddie Kitchens? What if they're like, hey, we like you?
Harbaugh to the Bears makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If he does want to come back. Former
Bears. The Bears and the Raiders.
Yeah, the Bears and the Raiders. I agree. Giants, I don't know. Giants feels like a coach-killing job. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be excited. I mean,
it's a coach. It's because it's fish rots from the head down.
And yeah.
The organization is just too stuck in the 1980s. It's just that, like.
Did I teach you that, or did you always say that?
I mean, I've heard it forever. My family's.
That's like an old-fashioned Italian saying that I.
Well, my family's part Italian. We're from the north. We're from Jersey. Like that, we have a lot of family ties to like Italian and like sayings and stuff like that. So it's not.
He's loath to give me credit, Nando.
Yeah, sorry, Jake. Never mind then. Go ahead, finish the show.
Finish the show? No, it's just
all by yourself. Go ahead.
Fades off for anybody that's watching. Just fades off the set. Are you in a rolling chair?
No, I'm standing up.
Oh, okay. That was a very smooth roll off the screen.
Can you do the walking down the stairs thing now?
He's like, hey, Jake, finish the show for us, man.
He's going to dust.
This is so
stupid. No, you're going to get me on a Giants rant. That's all it was. It's a Giants rant.
I know. I'm trying to get you on a Giants rant. Yes.
It starts with Mara.
Guilty.
It starts the Maras. It's just it's the Maras. It's the Maras. The Maras. You have the fact that you're talking about Gettleman needs to go, but you want to put him into the front office with you, and you want to find a GM who's okay coming in with a head coach who's basically dead in the water and a quarterback that's not the answer. So if you find the GM, it's going to be Kevin Abrams or somebody like that who's within the same giant circle that it's always been. It's just it's stupid.
Would you consider being a Jets fan?
No.
All right.
You can't make the playoffs with a bad quarterback. It starts at the head, but if the head is the quarterback in this analogy, and it's like,
the player's head. I'm talking about the organization head with the Mara.
Yeah, but they won with Eli. The Maras have been there forever. They won with Eli twice. They won the Super Bowl. It's like I think they just have to have a competent quarterback, and you can still get it done. You know?
That was also with better head coaching and GM situations at the time, and also. I guarantee you try to run that same Eli situation of roster management and organization decisions. Like, again, that worked then. Doesn't work now. You need to adapt. This team's like, no, we're still going to run out. You know, find another quarterback who can run a 1-2.
Who's the quarterback next year for the Giants?
It's Daniel Jones. Every excuse in the book. Emery and I have been tweeting or texting about this entire season. They're good at every excuse in the book. We said that Judge and Daniel Jones are coming back.
Ugh. Emery Hunt, Jake's referring to. Football game plan.
The best scout in the business.
He is. I agree. All right, Jake. Do you want to throw some sleepers out there for people before we wrap this up?
Well,
I think we hit most of them.
They can check the link for free.
That's true, but since we're listening to a show right now and they've listened 50 minutes, maybe you could just throw a couple names anyway to be nice.
Well, I mean.
come on, Jake.
We already mentioned Patrick Taylor.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to feed Barkley at the same time. She's interested in the show. I'm sorry. Like I'm trying to take care of it. You can see.
Jake's dog is here, everybody.
Yes, Gabriel Davis. Everybody's going to be off the Bills from what happened last week, but it was very much weather-related. Gabriel Davis is already in front of Emmanuel Sanders, whether or not Emmanuel Sanders plays. And the matchup this week is glorious. So I'm definitely on some Gabriel Davis. Donovan Peoples-Jones, really deep. I mean, Case Keenum's a little bit more aggressive. And he's healthy. Unlike Baker Mayfield.
I actually like that reasoning in your column.
What about
which one?
Keyshawn Vaughn. You're playing him over Le'Veon Bell, right?
I mean, yeah. But hey, by the way, our bet last week, we evened out even with the fact that Ronald Jones got hurt. I was walking away with that bet easily.
Yeah, who was your
and then
guy?
You still...
It was, I can't remember who your guy was.
Derek Gore.
Oh, Derek Gore. He had like one really good carry, and that was enough.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like they tied with Ronald Jones leaving the game.
I know. That Jets game was weird. It's like, I mean.
The Jets run defense past 6 weeks, surprisingly strong.
I know, but Tampa needing like the late touchdown to win that game, like that was just weird from the get-go.
Of course. Yeah. Our bet last week, Nando, in case you missed it, is we were talking backup running backs, and I said Derek Gore was going to outscore Keyshawn Vaughn.
That's an interesting.
it was,
I could see that. All
going
right.
Going deep. Yeah.
Yeah, and it tied?
It tied.
And it tied because, because Ronald Jones got hurt.
Yeah, but still.
Those numbers were on the table anyway. For Keyshawn regardless.
Brandon, you got any sleepers you want to throw out there before we
no
let Jake go play with his dog?
No, I didn't rank this week. I used to be a don't leave any meat on the bone kind of guy, but week 18, one extra week, was a week too far. It's a bridge too far.
It's like once you get past Christmas.
Yeah, it's like, I'm done. You know,
it's baseball season. Yeah.
Well, that's why we have Saturday games this year, is because we got the extra week, which now there's no college football games. So now they brought this. That's, if everybody's wondering where these Saturday games came from in the final week of the season, it's because week 17's overlap with college football bowls still going on. So now we got Saturday games are back.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm just excited for the Chargers Raiders. I love a last game of the year play-in game. Did you see that? What is it? There's a chance if a team ties. How does it work? No.
Oh yeah, like the Colts.
No, one team loses, it's Houston. If Houston wins, right? Or it's Jacksonville. I forget. Yeah, it's the Jacksonville.
I think it's if Jacksonville wins. Yeah.
There's a talk that in Vegas and the Chargers tie, they would both go in. So the talk was that the teams would just take kneel downs and do like a gentleman's agreement to do kneel downs the whole game.
Yeah, that yeah.
Because if you lose, you're out.
I think Roger Goodell would lose his mind.
Just change the game time. That's all I had
to do. Because the Steelers also are still, they get in at 9-7-1 if they win. And they would get in over the Colts losing or the, so the Colts lose and then the loser of the Chargers, Raiders get kicked out if the Steelers win. The Steelers can still get in.
Yeah, there is a scenario though where the teams could
the
tie.
Ravens can still get in at 8-8. They're still alive. It's like 8 billion things need to happen, but they're still alive.
Jay, this is for the Robert Mays show. Let's leave that, you know?
Sorry.
Podcast.
If you go into that game, you're one of the head coaches and a tie
Saints are still alive.
And a tie gets you both in before you start. You guys doing a gentleman's agreement or are you playing it out?
Hell no. Play it out.
I think I'm a gentleman's agreement.
What did Herm say?
If I could trust the other coach.
Right, exactly. They go for the deep ball on
you
the last play of the game.
To win the
right
game.
Right at the end, yeah.
Play to win the game.
All right, maybe you play to tie the game, Jake.
No.
No.
You go in there and you play it, you've got just as much chance to lose.
No.
All right.
You go in with it. How do you, this is like tanking. How do you get your players to invest in something like that?
Because you're going to say you're going to make the playoffs and get a playoff share.
No,
there's
a lot of, as you mentioned, there's incentives on the line. There's jobs on the line that are free agents next year. No.
All right.
D'Angelo Williams. There you go. That's why tanking will never happen.
I never heard you mention him. All right. Why?
Because you got to, so the, even if the owners want to, you're never going to get the head coaches to agree with their owners most of the time because their jobs are on the line. And even if you did get the managers to agree with the owners, the players would, it's just a trickle down. You could never get everybody invested.
You get basically a bye week in week 18. You guys don't even have
too many jobs,
no injuries. You get basically
53 men, 53 men plus the coaching staff. You're never going to get everybody and enough people on board.
All right, we'll see.
Players didn't want week 18 anyways. These guys would all opt in for this.
Jacksonville's not going to win anyway. We got to go.
It's all a moo point.
Yeah, it's a moo point, Jake.
From Friends.
Thank you all for joining us. I hope this is informative. I don't know. I think it was. You got the number two accuracy ranker, comma, in season, comma, if you don't listen to the guys from
stupid 25th ranking at quarterback.
Jake, definitely go read. I think it was Rudy Gamble. Go check out his tweets.
Actually,
go do it live and then come back because I really do want to see a reaction to this. DVR have to hurry up for the censor button.
I don't really even care what they do. Like, what is it, one of these, another sites that are trying to do their own specific rankings?
No,
and their
guys, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want
to
spoil it for you. I just want you to go see it and bask it all in.
I'm good right now.
Tell you what, I'll put it this way. You still finish in the top 30.
Okay.
All right, we got to go. Thank you all for joining us. That's about it. We're going to be back, I think, Monday. Do we just turn around and do this again on Monday for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's the playoffs. That's a whole different show.
There's more to work with.
More concrete.
This is just week 18. Yeah. It's the silly season, yeah. Maybe Jake would have ordered a quilt by then. Who knows? For Brandon Funston, for Jake Seve, I'm Nando DeFino. Thank you, and goodbye.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.